Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. The Anderson Valley Advertiser is an iconoclastic newspaper originating weekly on Wednesdays from Boonville, Mendocino County, California, edited and published by Bruce Anderson, whose name is merely coincidental with the name of the Anderson Valley. The masthead of the AVA, as it's sometimes called, says, "Newspapers should have no friends," and "fan the flames of discontent." After a three-year hiatus, beginning when Anderson sold the AVA and attempted to establish a newspaper elsewhere, he repurchased the AVA and returned to Boonville on July 1st, 2007, to write again. Bruce Anderson and I met in the studios of Radio Curious on July 13th, 2007, and talked about why he left Mendocino County, what he did when he was gone, how he reckons with the aggravated relationships he created with some people in years past, and what the readers can expect now that he again buys ink by the barrel.
I think I felt times pressures on my breathing down my neck, meaning I was getting old, and I wanted to try one last time to see if I could do something a little different, see if I could start a paper from scratch.
How old are you?
I'm 60. I'll be 68 in July, end of this month.
So you tried to start a paper from scratch in Eugene, Oregon?
Right.
How'd it go?
Actually, I could say this. I think it went pretty well. And what happened to me is I simply ran out of operating capital. I thought that I'd be able to tide it over on stand sales and subscriptions, as I had for years with the Anderson Valley Advertiser. And I just ran out of money. I think if I could have lasted out a full year, I think I would have been over the top. I mean, the indications were all pretty strong. But you may recall I won a suit against Mendocino County, but I lost that suit at the appellate level, and I was foolishly counting on the money from the lawsuit, and that would have been more than adequate to fund me, and I'm pretty sure I would have made it.
That was the suit where you challenged the county for not placing legal ads in your paper.
It was a discriminatory placement of advertising, and we won. Gee, the jury was only out about an hour in Mendocino County. A good clear case, and so I figured because it was a slam dunk in Mendocino County, it'd be a slam dunk at the appellate level, and instead I got slam dunked.
While you were in Oregon, it didn't work out the way you anticipated, so you wrapped up the program and...
Yeah, and I've spent the interim time. I have a couple of manuscripts that are ready to go for publication, the second of which consists almost entirely of rewrites of Mendocino crime stories that appeared in the AVA over the years, the infamous Fort Bragg fires, and several others, mostly on the Mendocino coast, as it happens. And then I have another one tentatively called An Anecdotal History of Mendocino County. And that, the first volume is an introductory sort of volume. But again, anecdotal gives me an out of sorts, meaning I can avoid footnotes and whatnot. But Mendocino County, as you know, when you look under Mendocino County in the library, any library anywhere, there's not a lot of material. And the historical record, thank goodness for Held Pogue, that's where it resides. But for much of the history is just missing. It hasn't been recorded.
And Held Pogue is the county historical society based here in Ukiah, California.
Yes, and a wonderful institution. And they have everything. They're very helpful. I mean, it's a great little library. And if they hadn't been accumulating stuff over the years, the old papers, the old books, the old memoirs, the old genealogies, I think we'd really have a historical vacuum in the county.
And for people who are interested, the Held Pogue Library is open to the public. They're listed in the phone book.
Yes.
So you left Oregon. You went back to the San Francisco Bay Area.
San Francisco specifically.
And what occurred there for you?
Nothing. I was working on my books.
So, and then you decided to come back.
And I contributed to Counterpunch, Alexander Coburn's online newsletter, I guess you'd call it.
And you came back to Mendocino County, purchased the AVA effective July 1 of 2007.
Yes.
About 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Have you published any editions since you've been back?
Published two. It's a weekly newspaper. It appears every Wednesday. So it's been pretty hectic. And we're sort of, you know, re-gearing up the paper and moving the premises. So
for some people who may not be familiar with your name, Bruce Anderson, mm-hmm. and the location of the paper, Anderson
Valley. The Fortunate
Valley,
Few, yes.
There's no real connection between your family name and Anderson Valley, is there?
No, pure happenstance.
Other than spelling. What motivated you to come back here?
Well, Dave Severn, who'd done a terrific job in my absence, or in the interim, not quite three years, was getting very tired of, and it was just too much for him. And we didn't want it to fall into the wrong hands.
What do you mean by that?
Well, as I said in an interview in the paper, meaning almost any individual or entity you could name. So we wanted to keep it open and free of, let's say, not exactly commercial taint, but we didn't want it to become just another local, you know, promotional sheet for the dominant industries in the area.
When you bought the paper from Homer Mannix, and what year was that?
Well, Homer started the paper in 1955.
And you
bought it from some people by the name of Malmgren, who moved on to Napa County.
But when? What year was that?
I bought it in January. My first issue then was January of 1984.
But when you bought it, you made a substantial change in the character and presentation of the paper.
Yes, I would say it was a fairly dramatic change.
So you want to keep your posture? We can anticipate that it'll be like it was when you ran it, as opposed to, as you said, falling into the wrong hands?
I think it'll be better.
Than when you ran it the first time?
Yes.
How so?
I think over the years it became steadily better. The only thing I regret about those years, I became involved in sort of no-win controversies that I realized tardily, belatedly realized, that were just a complete waste of time and energy and dominating the paper and alienating lots of people and, you know, including immediate family members who would groan and leave the room whenever certain subjects came up.
Those were the no-win controversies?
Yeah, the no-win controversies.
Can you be, do you care to be specific?
Well, the Barry bombing controversy was a terrible one. Just in constant battles with the wine industry, with battles with other local media, you know, those kinds of things.
When you say the Barry bombing incident, you're referring to when Judy Barry, a forest activist, was bombed in Oakland in the summer of 1990.
Right. It was a good friend of mine, and I was an ally of hers during Redwood Summer, and she wrote for my paper, and all of her book, in fact, appeared first in the Anderson Valley Advertiser. I mean, not only was she a terrific impromptu speaker, but she was a very good, clear writer. She could have been a very good journalist.
And it's interesting that her sister, Gina Colata, is a health and science writer for the New York Times.
Right, quite a big wheel at the New York Times.
So Bruce Anderson, editor and publisher of the Anderson Valley Advertiser, located here in Mendocino County, California, what can we look for in the future? What will be the bent or the presentation of the Anderson Valley Advertiser?
Presentation's a better word than bent.
Okay.
In this context.
Well, on the masthead, will it still say newspapers should have no friends?
No, but that's definitely the sentiment that that motivates it. That's Joe's, as I think most people know, that's Joseph Pulitzer's famous dictum. That,
and that's Joseph Pulitzer, the editor of the St. Louis World, who created a new style in investigative and reportive journalism around the beginning of the 20th century, and for whom the Pulitzer Prize is named.
That's right. And his papers were very good, very hard-hitting, and he did do a lot of investigative pieces. And of course, he didn't mean the slogan literally, to have no friends, but he meant that you shouldn't be simply an extension of the local chamber of commerce, which we've always tried to avoid. But then newspapers have changed. In Pulitzer's days, they weren't so heavily dependent on advertising, and advertising tends to corrupt news gathering and the media generally.
Well, Bruce, during the years that you were running the Anderson Valley Advertiser, a little more than 20, you were a close observer and commentator on Mendocino County politics. How would you recommend marijuana, for instance, be resolved in a way that would work, allow some people who don't like the smell of growing marijuana to have fresh air, other people who like to walk in the woods to be able to do so without fear of violence, and other people who enjoy marijuana for social or medicinal purposes still being able to grow it and have it?
I'm for decriminalization. I mean, that's personally where I stand, meaning that reasonable amounts of marijuana, say 100 plants, and that's an awful lot of marijuana.
Considering that each plant can produce approximately a pound.
Right, yeah, for an experienced grower.
My observations, if a person were to smoke a pound, they'd be busy for a full year.
Yeah, yeah. I think there are elements of the discussion that always get left out, because as nationally, even certainly in Mendocino County, we're left with a terrible dilemma when it comes to young people, do as I say, not as I do, where you have this huge, you know, Mendocino County's primary industry, really, certainly its largest cash crop by a long ways, and young people growing up with being told, no, it's a bad idea to smoke marijuana when you're young. It's an energy drain, whatnot. I mean, it's not good for you, especially as a young person. But yet, mom, pop, even grandpop at this point is smoking it or growing it. And the whole context is, it's there.
There are young children, third generation children, where the family income is the growth and selling of marijuana.
Right.
Which can create a certain amount of communication problems for children, in that they are expected to keep a family lie and a family secret that creates developmental and psychological problems, in my opinion, for children.
I would think so. I would think so. But I don't. I that's an aspect of the discussion overall that always gets left out. But I'm for decriminalization because, I mean, we have to face it. I mean, the economy of the North Coast pretty much runs on marijuana money. And if it were simple, marijuana were simply legalized, of course, it would be produced by Marlboro.
Well, the United States Supreme Court has said that it's outlawed by Congress, and the change would be coming from Congress. Yeah. The voters of California adopted the Proposition 215 for medical marijuana.
Right.
And as you say here, it's the de facto economy.
Yeah.
We can't change Congress here locally.
No.
We may be able to do something locally. What would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend, I think, what people are doing. I mean, there was the advisory measure G, which still obtains, I think, at least to a certain extent.
That was passed in the year 2000 by about 58% of the vote.
58% of the vote.
That said it directed the Board of Supervisors to give marijuana enforcement the lowest priority.
Right.
And recommended that it be used for people's pleasure, not
right.
necessarily medicinal purposes.
And I think that's what law enforcement has done. Because, yeah, I mean, we have other terrible drugs, methamphetamine, that, I mean, just logically, law enforcement has got to concentrate on. certainly has to be the priority over marijuana.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're visiting with Bruce Anderson, recently returned after a three-year hiatus as the editor and publisher of the Anderson Valley Advertiser, located in Boonville, California. Bruce is visiting with us in the studios of Radio Curious, and this is Radio Curious, and I'm Barry Vogel. Bruce, land use planning has been a major issue for many years in Mendocino County. I know that you observe the progress, the development, and sometimes the lack of development or progress. What would you recommend in the Ukiah Valley Area Plan and the Mendocino County General Plan as it's going to be revised in the upcoming years?
I was very pleased with the original general plan, which I'm sure you remember was basically the work of local committees.
That was adopted in 1982.
Yeah, it allowed for lots of open space. It was a very sensible plan because it depended entirely on people from the areas affected. And they, knowing their areas the best, they came up with good plans. The Anderson Valley plan, I think, is terrific. But, of course, Anderson Valley is unincorporated, no infrastructure. It's not like the Ukiah Valley. I think it seems to me, and to make a prediction here, the overriding consideration is going to be water. We're tapped out, basically, in this part of the North Coast. The Eel River diversion supplies much of the summertime Russian River flow. We can't continue to hook up subdivisions, businesses, and all the rest of the downstream development that's underway now. And the coverage of the water issue has been spotty at best, that's for sure. But the Santa Rosa area is obviously headed this summer for rationing. And I think we'll come to that very quickly in the Ukiah Valley. Any development plan has got to take that into consideration.
Well, Bruce Anderson, I want to go back to some comments that you made in your paper when you ran it a number of years ago. Some people, perhaps you included, would say it was artistic or literary license that you took. Other people felt they were personally insulted and you did great damage to their feelings and their reputation by some of the stories that you wrote. Would you say that's a fair characterization?
Well, I can't speak for the damaged persons, but let me say that there were excesses. I have regrets about some comments I've made. I mean, I think all people do. But on the other hand, it's clear on the North Coast that public people who take public positions, hold public offices, pretty much have a free pass from the media. I mean, anybody who's watched Willie Brown, the former mayor of San Francisco, at a news conference, or listened to him on a talk show, or the current mayor, Newsom, the questioning is brutal. It gets into everything. And those guys are like human punching bags, but they punch back, and they're good at punching back. So here, even the mildest criticism, you get these howls of outrage and alleged pain from people who have got to be able to take it. I mean, they should realize that if they were in a major media market where people were really shooting at them and criticizing them and holding their feet to the fire, what would they do?
When I was talking about literary license or perhaps fabrication.
The Bosco interview?
I was thinking of the Bosco interview, which never really happened. Why don't you refresh our memory as to...
Well, I think you'll remember it was during the offshore oil hearings. You spoke. You were active in those hearings in Fort Bragg. What was that, 86, 87?
88, 89.
Okay, 88, 89. That was my contribution to the offshore oil hearings. Our cartoonist, Mary Miles, did a brilliant cartoon of a big seashell out of which no more oil, and it was accompanied by the Bosco interview. And at the time, politically, people active in the issue, and everybody was on the same page in Mendocino County. No offshore oil drilling, Bosco.
I think it's important to say that Doug Bosco was the representative in the United States Congress from this district.
Right. And we were all trying, or at least I was, and I think lots of us were, we were trying to smoke Bosco out because he was waffling on the issue. He would not take a position. Gray Davis appeared at the hearings. I think Barry Keane was there. I mean, the Democratic Party apparatus was there except for Bosco. So my idea was to smoke Bosco out on the issue, make him take a stance. And
so you created an interview that, if I remember correctly, was alleged to have occurred at the airport in Kansas City at a bar by someone who sat down next to Bosco and had a kind of a conversation that some people have with their seatmate on an airplane, knowing that they'll never see him again.
Yes, yes. And the idea of it was that people were supposed to get about halfway through, and then it would occur to them that under torture, an American congressman or office holder would not say these things. Falling down drunk, drugged, under torture, waterboarded, would not say these things. But then when I printed up extra copies of my paper and I took them out to the oil hearings and started passing them out, then I looked around, and a few minutes later, people were throwing the paper down, cursing Bosco. I said, uh-oh, we might have a problem here. And then, of course, I made it a little bit worse, which I regret, because soon the wire services were calling up and the media were calling up and said, did Congressman Bosco actually say these things? I said, of course he did. And
which wasn't true.
Which wasn't true.
The whole interview was a fabrication from your fingertips.
And then here we are, X number of years later, you know, and we're still talking about it. But over the years, my many, many detractors and enemies have said, well, golly gee, he just makes stuff up. Look at the Bosco interview. But that was clearly satire. But in most newspapers, of course, satire is confined, if it even exists anymore, it's confined to the editorial pages, and it's clearly labeled satire. I mean, the culture, the literary culture, just the level of literacy has deteriorated to the point where if you're writing, you have to make it very clear. Watch it, folks. Here's a joke. This isn't true. Here comes a joke. Three sentences ahead. Beware.
What can we expect in future editions of the Anderson Valley Advertiser along those lines?
We're off to a little bit of a slow start, but like I said, we're moving in, so there's some logistics problems, and we're all in our new office over the Mosswood Market in Central Boonville. It's a great space. Everyone's welcome to visit. I hope a lot of good reporting. I mean, I have a story in the works that I think will be of interest to people on the DeNoyer horse case and related matters. That's already raised some hackles, and I haven't even done it yet. So that one will be coming up.
Well, Bruce Anderson, you're a man who has a varied experience. You were a member of the United States Marine Corps. You were a member of the United States Peace Corps. I think muckraker might be a fair characterization for you as a journalist.
Honorable.
What are your goals in life?
My goals in life? Well, to keep going as long as I can, not to simply to vegetate and fade away and retire.
You appear to be in good health with good skin color.
I do my push-ups every day, hike every day. I'm in very good shape.
In terms of goals, I was thinking of political or social goals that you would like to bring about through the use of journalism.
I think for its size, the Anderson Valley Advertiser has always had a pretty strong influence, much of which is subterranean, but the movers and the shakers read it, even if they don't admit that they read it. And I think it has an influence, and it raises issues that ultimately have to be addressed and are often picked up by the larger circulation papers and media of the area. I mean, over the years, we've done quite a few things first. We were all looked at from any kind of historical perspective. We were the only paper in the area that really covered the infamous Fort Bragg fires that were never prosecuted. And there was more than enough to take into court. And those individuals got away with burning the heart right out of Fort Bragg. The Justice Court, the library, the oldest Piedmont Hotel in Fort Bragg. Simply atrocious.
Can you remind us of the year that occurred?
Those three fires occurred in one grand night of arson in 1987. And the case limped along, and the ATF was up here in force, and the FBI was up here in force. Reports were written. Witnesses were interviewed. One witness, in my opinion, was probably murdered.
Why do you think there was never any prosecution?
I think the district attorney at the time actually went on record, and she said...
That was Susan Massini.
That was Susan Massini, and she said, well, there was no pressure from the Fort Bragg area. There was no real citizen pressure, which, I mean, do you have to have citizen... I mean, citizens just assume that the district attorney is going to prosecute major crimes. They shouldn't have to feel that they have to be on the phone every day yelling at the DA to do his or her job. That's the worst crime. I mean, I still shake my head in that. I still can't believe that one.
Well, Bruce Anderson, editor and publisher of the Anderson Valley Advertiser, I want to thank you for being with us on Radio Curious. And before we close, can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
I've been into the books lately of a woman named Rebecca Solnit, who I think is a wonderful writer, who is also... a strong activist, especially anti-nuke activist, who visits the Mojave and demonstrates against the test ban test. She's actually been arrested there. But she not only describes those events, she describes the whole history, the whole human interface of people and land, especially of the more obscure parts of California. She's just a wonderful writer, and a fiction writer by the name of Edward P. Jones, who won a Pulitzer Prize recently. Just a wonderful writer. The only fiction I've read in a long time that I really, really liked.
We're Bruce Anderson. Thank you for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you for inviting me.
Bruce Anderson is the editor and publisher of the Anderson Valley Advertiser, originating in Boonville, California. The books he recommends are those written by Rebecca Solnit. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format for $10 each. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org, and the phone is 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.